Praise God. Who's set for the word this morning? How many are ready? Hallelujah. Amen. This morning I have a charge. That is, not in a negative sense, but an exhortation. Amen. Hallelujah. We've been on a series titled Something Happened. And what happened, friends? Christ came. Christ Jesus came into this world, was crucified.
Yes.
Not for anything that he did, for any sins committed by him, but because of the great love wherewith he loved us. He counted it all joy. He despised the shame. Went to the cross. Was crucified. And buried. And on the third day, he rose again from the dead. Because guess what? Death could not hold him captive. With that glorious resurrection, friends, he made available and gave to us, bequeathed to us,
yes,
eternal life. And with that victory, and with that freedom,
yes.
The life of God.
Thank you, Lord.
With that, we're made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
With that, we became God's children. Translated from the kingdom of darkness and translated into the kingdom of the Son of His love, or His dear Son Jesus. We changed nativity, friends. So something happened.
Yes.
Of great effect, powerful impact for all time and eternity. And you get to be a partaker of that. And so these past few weeks, we're looking at, basically, in a nutshell, forgiven indeed. By a good, good Father, whose heart, whose will is that we reign in life by one, even Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And we saw how that reigning in life, particularly in first instance, relates to, implicates, means reigning in eternal life. Realizing and recognizing that eternal life is not something for the future or sweet by and by, but something which you possess as a child of God, as a believer, as a Christian, in the here and now, as a present actual possession. And how that life, the nature of that life, the quality of that life, the character of that life is supposed to have an impact, an imprint on your existence here.
Yes.
So that all those benefits that accrue based on so great salvation are yours to enjoy richly here and now.
Yeah.
So that they're not just concepts in the book, in the word, in the Bible, but things that ought to be our living reality, which we get to experience in this lifetime. Not theoretical. Not just concepts. But reality.
Yes.
And how that the key to reigning in life, in eternal life, in this life, whereby that life gets to affect every aspect of our being, every aspect of our existence, however mundane we may see those things, is to have a shift in perspective. Realizing, recognizing who you are based on what God did.
Yes.
Seeing yourself the way God sees you. Not based on how you see yourself, based on how you feel, where you've been, what you've done, but based on what He did. And how that shift in perspective, friends, can only come in the place, by that place, called intimacy. Intimacy with the Most High.
Yes.
With a loving, good, good Father. That's how that change comes. Looked at Romans 12, 2, being transformed. We'll talk about that, friends. But those are the things we looked at last week. And we touched on Romans 5 and saw how that, having therefore been justified. Oh my God. I could throw the book at you, friends.
Amen.
By that, I mean his word. I can throw that at you as in word after word, thing after thing, that the riches of his glory, the riches that he's given to us as his children.
Yes, that's right.
Wow. Things we could never achieve by ourselves in our own power or by our own strength.
Amen.
He gave to us. Wow. It says, having therefore been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice. Who's rejoicing today? And rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Being justified. I judged not guilty. Just as if you never sinned.
Yes.
Can I go on?
Yes.
And there's peace that results from that, friends. And this peace is not, oh, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding. That's part of our bounty. That's part of what we have and get to enjoy. But this peace talks about peace within you and God. No more hindrance. Nothing in between you to stop that communion, communication, intimacy. How that you don't have to try to get before him, try to make yourself worthy of his love. How that based on what Jesus did and by that perfect sacrifice and faith in that sacrifice, how that you are accepted in the beloved.
Yes.
You are accepted in the beloved and made worthy based on what he did. I titled this message this morning, this charge, and I hope you can hear my heart this morning. Simple title, but I want us to, one, be encouraged in our hearts and run with it. Growing grace.
Yes. Amen.
Growing grace.
Yes.
Growing grace. Because you see, friends, Bible reveals from that passage we were in, Romans 5, we now stand in grace, right? How many know you're standing, you have a standing in grace?
Yes.
Now it's important to know that as a believer. It's important to have that anchored in your heart to be sure and to recognize that truth. It's not just fact, it's truth. It's living reality based on what God did. And we need to see how that grace touches on every aspect of our lives as believers. How that when we got saved, when you believe the gospel, when you believe the message, friends, the message we're to run with, the message we're to share in Ypsilanti and Ann Arbor and Saline and all around this area, is the gospel of the grace of God, as Paul said in Acts 20. When he was told, oh, if you go up to Jerusalem, this is what awaits you. He says, none of these things move me, neither do I count my life as dear unto myself, that I might finish my course with joy.
Yes.
And the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify of what? To testify the what? The gospel of the grace of God. So the gospel message is the gospel of grace, the grace of God. And how that in believing that message, what does it say in Ephesians 2, chapter 2? It says, for by grace are you saved, through faith. It says, and that not of yourself, it is what? It's the gift of God, not of works. Lest any man should boast. So the message believed, the gospel of grace. That's how you are saved. And that's where you now stand in grace. in relationship to the Father in grace. That standing, friends, I'm saying this morning, has a call attached to it. That standing isn't just, I'm just there. No, it has a call attached to it. And that call, friends, I'm saying this morning, is the call to growth.
Yes.
Is a call to growth.
Yes.
And so we need to see that regardless of where we are in our state in life, stage of life, how many years, how long we've known the Lord Jesus, how long we've been saved, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, 40 years, 70-ish years, been saved. I'm not talking about your age now, but having been saved, you know, if you don't want to get too super technical. There's that, if I may use the word responsibility, something very crucial, something pertinent, something important. You must grow. You've got to. I got saved January 25th, 1997. I'm going to go into the details of how that transpired. From that moment onwards, of necessity, friends, growth is important. How many can picture having a baby and the baby just stays that way? Does that ever happen? Can you picture a time? Can you remember when you came in contact with life? When you met Jesus? When you met grace? For He is grace. Is that something you remember? Does that have an imprint in your heart? How long ago was that? Do you remember when? From that moment, great growth was and remains imperative.
Yes.
No room for coasting, friends. And I'll share from my own personal experience in this regard. Let's turn our Bibles to the book of Ephesians. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In chapter 4. Friends, I hardly speak this way, but whether we like it or not, there is an expectation that in our relationship with God that we grow.
True.
Amen.
Whether we like it or not.
Yes.
Ephesians in chapter 4. I'm going to read from J.B. Phillips. Phillips translation. That's not that I don't like it in the KJV or love it in the New King James. Growing up into Him in all things. But let's read. Ephesians in chapter 4 verse 15. We are not meant to remain as children at the mercy of every chance wind of teaching and jockeying of men who are expert in craft presentation of lies. But we are meant to hold on to the truth in love and to grow up in every way into Christ the head. Another version says, and so become more and more in every way like Christ, who is the head of His body. And so, friends, last week when we touched on Romans 12 and verse 2, and we make reference to that, that's something as believers, as ardent students of God's word, as children of the Most High, we should be conversant with and know, not by way of head knowledge. It says, be not conformed to the pattern of this world, but be what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind, friends. That word transformed, therefore, you to be transformed for that transformation to occur. I'm saying this morning, that transformation actually implicates growth.
Yes.
That transformation implicates growth. And I want to say as well, that growth, which comes, as it says, that transformation, which comes by the renewing of the mind. How many of you know that's not a one-time thing? One time and done. Boom, bam, I'm good like that. You know, when we're back at school, back in college, there's some folks, some friends, you know, you're there trying to study hard, right? Exams coming by. Well, some people, they just glance. They just, or they're in class. Once they hear, that's it. They got it. And they just go, boom. Or they pick up that manual. It's all done. Oh, I'm good. I can take that test. I don't even have to open nothing anymore. So I'm not even talking about, it's not a one-time thing and done as it concerns God's word in our relationship with him. It's not a one-season thing as well. One season, okay, I got it all now. It's time to, because how many know the renewing of the mind is supposed to be what?
Continuous.
It's a lifetime thing, friends. This side of eternity, because guess what, friends? There's no stage or point you get to as it concerns God in relation to God, in relationship with God, where you say, well, Lord, I know you all now. Right? I know all, God, I know you. There's a word I used to use, daze. You can't daze me anymore. Right? You can't surprise me. There's enough. I know all of you. What did Paul say? That I may what? Know him. There's no point you can get to as a child of God where you say, I've arrived. There's nothing else I need to know. That means you're setting yourself up as what? Someone said, Mr. Know-it-all. Need to grow. It's imperative. This growth harps on, touches on the heart and our minds. And it's important. Hebrews in chapter 13, verse 9. Hebrews in chapter 13, verse 9. It says there, you don't have to turn there. It says there, it is a good thing. Someone say, good thing.
Good thing.
It is a good thing that the heart be what? Established with what? With grace. It is a good thing that your heart be fortified with grace. It is a good thing that your heart be lined up with grace, that your heart be steeped in grace, that your heart is solidified in grace. Why? So that you get to experience in your walk the fullness of God's grace as given to you in Christ Jesus. Having hearts and minds that are stable in the truth as it concerns Jesus. How do I fortify my heart in grace? How does growth come? Number one, it's important to know that I need to grow. It's essential. It's a must. And here's that clarion call. That's the way I've always seen this. And that's the way that's the light and the revelation I got of it, received of it in God's word. 2 Peter in chapter 3, verse 18. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. Growing grace. A charge. Growing grace. Peter said, under unction of the Holy One. Growing grace. And in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. How? Let's turn to a passage. 1 Peter in chapter 2. 1 Peter in chapter 2. Thank you, Lord Jesus. First Peter in chapter 2. What does it say? It says, as newborn babes, Desire the sincere milk, one says. Another says, desire the pure milk of the word that you may what? Grow thereby. Not saying or alluding to the fact that you are babes or that you're babies. But the same way a baby craves, not only requires, but actually craves milk for what? For development, for what? For growth. The same way the believer, the same way the child of God is to crave the pure milk of the word. That is the truth of God's word. And how many know the truth concerns Christ Jesus, who is the way, who's the truth, who's the life, and who's paved the way for you to be, to have living relationship with the Father of spirits. So we need to grow. And it doesn't stop. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Coming to terms with the living reality of all that God has called us to. We'll see how as we continue on this morning. How often does a baby feed an infant, newborn? How often?
Often.
3 hours. 3 hours? Well, sorry? Hour and hour? I would say 2. I've had a couple, I've had a few, but that's fine. Hallelujah. It's important, friends. It's critical. How do I grow in grace? First Timothy chapter 4 says something in that regard. It says, meditate on these things. We'll see what things shortly. You want to turn there? Let's turn there. Meditate on these things. It says, give yourself wholly, completely, totally over unto them, that your profiting, that your progress may appear unto what? Unto all men. What things? If you see verse 13, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13, talks primarily first. The first thing it lists in there is the reading of what? Of scriptures. They're given over to. And then he talks about exhortation. And then he talks about doctrine. And the reason I'm emphasizing this, friends, is when we look at it, the kernel of it, the root of it is in getting our hearts solidified in what Jesus did and why he did it. What he has, what's now available to us, what we have been called to, what we have now been born into. The life that we have on the inside. How does this work? How does this translate to my everyday living here and now? How can it have an impact? So that in my walk, I'm actually walking and living what? The victorious life. So I'm not just meditating the word or getting the word so that I can have head full, filled with knowledge. What good does that bring to you if his life, Christ on the inside, isn't manifesting? This is how I fight my battles. We're here in worship. Awesome time. Praise God. Seeing victory. Seeing freedom. Knowing you're free. Do you know how huge that is? We were who were once bound in shackles and sin and sins. Made free by the blood of Jesus. Coming to terms with that reality. Knowing who's Lord over you, over me now. Not the enemy, not the evil one, not the devil, but a good, good Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Your progress, the profiting. Progressively being transformed into the image, being conformed into the image and the likeness of Christ Jesus becomes evident. Do you know that you can tell? Do you know that you can tell? How? How can you tell? Are you growing? How can you tell? Let's look at verse 11 in that passage. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. First Timothy in chapter 4. Paul told him, be thou an example of the believer. Here's what I'm saying, friends. It always comes out one way or the other, whether we know it or not. What we give ourselves over to, it comes out. Are you growing? And it shows. It shows in conduct. It shows in lifestyle. It shows in conversation. It shows. 1 Timothy in chapter 4, we're at verse 11. Did I say 11? I meant 12. Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in work, in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity, and on and on and on, as we'll get to see as we continue on, friends. Giving oneself over to God's word by meditation, by consistency. Friends, growth does not come by automatically. Growth, spiritual growth, is God going to do that for you? As far as make you? It's a choice. Well, guess what? Guess who has all the tools? Guess who has all the resources available? Not just available, but on the inside. How are you in that relationship with him? To know the deposits that he's placed within and how to mine them so that you're flourishing in this life. You're flourishing. Two, prayer. Meditate. In the word, consistently, continuing it therein. What about prayer? Jesus, while he walked the face of this earth, gave the perfect picture as far as I can see. I don't know if you see anyone else, but in going through the word, a life of devotion to the Father, and that showed in the place of prayer as far as his communion and communicating and communication with God. That was his lifestyle. Giving us a picture. As far as it concerns intimacy, as far as it concerns living and flourishing in that relationship. How was it? How that he would rise up early in the morning, before light, before daylight, and continue in prayer. Mark 1:35. How that, example, Luke 6:12, how that he would go into the mountain to pray and remain all night in prayer. How that prayer dogged, if you look at decision making or healings and so many things, getting the word, friends, he was constantly in prayer. What did Paul say? Colossians in chapter 4, verse 2. Colossians in chapter 4, verse 2, it says, continue in prayer. Another version says, continue earnestly in prayer. It says, and remain in the same with thanksgiving. Yeah. That's what we're called to, friends. Here's how I put it. We've been given as believers, as children of God, powerful access, divine access to the creator of the universe, to be able to converse with him, to be able to conversate, to be able to have a relationship. And that relationship is communion. And that relationship is communication. You interaction with the Father of spirits. It's a privilege. It's access. Unhindered. Are we taking advantage of that which we have in that regard? Are we making best use of it? In the long run, friends, we'll get to see that it's for our own benefit. In that regard, that prayer time or communion, that time isn't the time for, and I'll just talk about myself, I'll share my own heart in this regard. Personally, for me, that's not the time to be. And hear me on this, and hear me clearly. That's not the time to begin to focus on the enemy and spend hours on end interacting with the devil, his cohorts, or anything else. That's time of relationship between me and my Father. When I can get to love on him. Do you know that you can actually get to love on God? That comes by when you get to understand the great love wherewith he loved you first. When you recognize that, realize that, appreciate that, you can get to love on him in that moment, in time of prayer. So I know my position in Christ, I know my authority, I don't spend that time fighting the enemy. No, there's something I need to address, I address it right away and move on, that's it.
Amen.
I spend quality time with my Father. That's not the time when I get to badger God with my needs.
Amen.
Prayer time, that's not the time when I get to badger God with my needs. And for so many years, I've made that my own lifestyle in the sense of, I just give thanks. So the way I do it, friends, personally, I go long in praying in the spirit, that is praying in tongues. And what I mean by going long, that's why I major in, that's how I pray. I pray in the spirit. And time doesn't begin to factor. Time is just relevant. I get lost in the spirit.
Yes.
That's what I major in. That's what I choose to major in. If I'm praying in my understanding, when I get to pray in my understanding, by way of lifestyle for me personally, is thanksgiving.
Yes.
Father, I thank you for who you've made me, who you are in me. I thank you. So that, and it's just thanksgiving. So that even if I do have a request, I'm actually thanking him.
Yes.
For that thing, I'm not asking, I'm thanking.
Yeah.
Father, I thank you already for that safe journey. I just thank you for that opportunity. I just thank you for that person being healed. I just thank you. That's the way the request comes out, because a heart of gratitude.
Yes.
For all that you've done, who you are to me, and all that you're doing and working out. Even when situations and circumstances seem to tell you something different, but you can stand boldly in grace knowing that it's done. And not have any fear. When I started to teach my little kids, my girls, how to pray when they were real young, the prayers were always punctuated by thanks. Punctuated by thanks. That's the way I raised, that's how I showed them and taught them. Father, I thank you for this. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. And they would go through a whole series of things that I wasn't prompting, but they were just prompt from their own hearts. But it was always thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Remain in the same with thanksgiving to God. Do you believe it's done already? Are you still struggling? How does he put it? How did Paul put it in 1 Thessalonians 5, 16, 17, 18? My daughters love that portion. Rejoice evermore. It says, pray without what? Ceasing. Pray without stopping. Pray without, I can use different words. Pray ceaselessly. In everything, give thanks. Why? Because this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. The giving of thanks. So friends, how do I grow? We talked about the word. We talked about prayer. However we consider any of those 2 points, there's more. But for the purpose of this message, however we consider those, friends, there are things you're going to see that are consistent all through. You have to be consistent. You have to continue. There's continuity, there's consistency, and there's commitment. Continuity, consistency, there's commitment in this relationship, in this love relationship with the divine. A giving over to God in this way. How do you give yourself over to God in a world that craves your attention and action in so many ways? Oh, wow. How'd you do that? We call it living life, right? Life happens, right? Stuff happens. How do you give yourself over? I'll give a one-word response this morning per time because of time. And that word is prioritizing. Prioritizing.
Amen.
Prioritizing. I say it again, prioritizing. One more time, prioritizing. Why is that important, friends? Because we're caught up in a world right now whereby, for example, I can tell you about some ills. I can tell you about some things or fads that are thrown up, that are out there in the world, and we latch onto even as believers, and that hinders us, that hampers us from growing in grace and getting in our experience, in our walk, getting to see the fullness of what God has deposited on the inside, which we are not mining, that is, which we are not taking advantage of. Time management, for example, is one. And the idea or concept with time management is one of, oh, this is a view, it's not all of it, but oh, how much stuff can I get packed in into, for example, let's use a one-day reference. How much can I achieve? It's based on achievement. Oh, I've done so much today, this and this and this and this and this and this and this, and all the things that I'm, you know, I manage my time well. Effectively. But friends, it's not so much about choking so that we then miss out in the area of things that cause for growth, which I'm referring to today. It's not about how much we can pack, and that's why sometimes we get inundated. There's so much. There's work, there's jobs, there's business, there's family, there's friends, there's socials, there's entertainment, there's sports, and so many things, and travel, and this and that, and media, and news, and it's like a race, and you wake up, and it's like time is never enough, and oh, that day just went by, that week just went by. Possibly that month just went by. I didn't spend time, and I mean quality time in the Word. I didn't spend time in the place of prayer, getting lost before His presence, not having to glance once at the clock. Or to say, oh, I got to be here. Am I saying any of that stuff is bad? No. This is how I mean it. Maybe I can get this across. I was going to share about my experience back in the day, because one thing you want to stay away from is coasting. Coasting. Oh, I'm living in grace. Praise God. Grace is powerful. It's awesome. No word study. Oh, I'm living in grace. Grace is awesome. So powerful. Oh, I got all of it on the inside. No prayer. Oh, there is. It's just, oh, a message here. And back in the day, you know, we didn't have, it had to be CDs or tapes and things of that nature. I'll share briefly. Just, you know, left law school. Worked at some law firms in Lagos, the top ones, and after that, I said, oh, after working a couple of mergers and acquisitions, financial institutions, okay, you know what? Transition over to banking sector. So, okay, I'm going to end up in the legal department and, you know, take over, take some things there. And made that transition, and all of a sudden, I said, oh, we're sending you to a branch. And the branch, guess what? No legal department or nothing. Okay, so guess what? You're into marketing. And if you're from where I come from, it's not the way it is here in the U.S. where bank executives, you just sit in the, you know, it's nice, it's cozy, air-conditioned, nice office. Yes, we have that back home, but guess what? For marketers, you have to hit the streets because you're trying to get the money. And you have to make this money. You have to bring these funds into the bank. If you don't bring them physically, you have to buy wire, but it's rough and rugged. But you have to actually hit the streets and do it. And with that, you're working all day, all not all night, but till 11, 12, midnight. Oh, yeah, I'm hearing the tape, but that still doesn't stop you as a child of God, as a Christian, from getting to that place in that moment, whether it's behind your desk, whether it's in that location, whether it's in that office, or wherever it is in your place of existence where you sit at the feet of the Word. Who is Jesus in person? The Word, to learn of Him, or to spend time in prayer, being conscious of who He is. The 80-20 rule, I guess I'll close with this. The 80-20 rule, or the Pareto rule, the concept in the world, this is the idea. 80% of the effects are brought about by 20% of the causes. What does that mean? It's a business management rule and some other areas of life, other sectors of life as well. So that if you focus your energy on the 20%, you're actually maximizing the 80% plus as far as output for progress, for profitability, whatever it is. It gets applied in so many areas. But here's what I'm saying this morning, friends. Based on life and the way things go, we tend to major in the minor. The things that are not so important, we have to prioritize. And I'm saying simply this morning, choose to prioritize God. Choose to prioritize your relationship with God. Saying choose to prioritize your relationship in Jesus, with Jesus. Choose to prioritize that. Have God first. Jesus said, love the Lord your God with what? All your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. I'm saying, not just don't look at that 29 and say, that's not, but I'm saying, if you focus on the spiritual aspect of who you are, because truly, man is spirit. Man is spirit.
Yes.
If you choose to focus on the real you, who you are, not grow for your spirit growing, no, but your heart and mind aligning with the truth that is on the inside, full, perfect, complete nature, life of God, the divine nature of Abba running on the inside. If you give yourself over completely to that aspect in renewing your mind, it translates, friends. There's impact in your life here on earth. All those other areas, you can then see the Lord, hear the Lord clearly tell you whether about that job situation, whether you should change jobs, whether you should quit that business. Maybe you should start something new. Maybe you should go on that journey. Maybe you shouldn't. Maybe you should move house. Maybe you shouldn't. That relationship is so live, it's so intimate, it's so real before your consciousness that you're aware of his presence every single moment of the day. So it's not just about the blocks of times, but is he real to your heart? Is he your all in all? God. So I haven't said your job is not important. I haven't said your school or your studies or things of that nature are not important, but I'm saying prioritize him. And then he'll guide and direct you. I was going to share on the indices of growth, but there's barely time. That is, how can you tell? Because you can tell in so many areas. I'm going to leave us. I had 3 points, but I'll leave us with one this morning. Let's turn to Romans in chapter 12. That self-same passage which starts with, be not conformed to the pattern of this world, but being transformed by the renewing of the mind. Romans in chapter 12. Verse 3. The first point, I guess prayer team members, you can just come up. Prayer team. Indices of growth. Sin doesn't dug you anymore because you're not held bound by sin. 2, you realize it's not just all about you. It's about him, not self-focused, self-absorbed. No, it's not about me any longer. It's about him and what he wants based on love. And 3rd point, indices of growth. You better understand the one body concept. Verse 3, Romans 12, 3. For I say, through the grace given to me, everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to us the measure of faith. For we have many members in the body, but all the members do not have the same function. So we, being many, are one body in Christ and individual members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. Indicators of growth. Use them. If prophecy, prophesy. Ministry. Use it in ministry. Teaching. Use it in teaching. Exhortation. Use it in exhortation. Who gives with liberality. Who leads, lead with diligence. Who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one towards another. These are indicators that growth is occurring, that you're growing. You understand the one body concept. And in growth, you see that God has actually called you to serve, not yourself, but him in serving others and being used of him mightily. Let's rise. Thank you, Lord, because I choose to prioritize you. The cry of my heart this morning is that every soul, every individual here just chooses in their own hearts just to prioritize you, to see you, Lord. As the utmost. And to just have you guide and direct as by your Spirit. Thank you, Father, for every life here represented. If there's anyone here this morning, you don't know Jesus. You don't have his life, eternal life on the inside of you. You don't have that living relationship with him, with God. And I'd love for you to just join up with one of these prayer team members right now. The life gets transformed, renovated, changed completely in the best way possible. You're here and you don't have the baptism of the Holy Spirit as evidenced in speaking in tongues. I'd love for you to just join up with one of these prayer team members as well. They'll share grace, show love, and bring you into a whole new world, Vista. Your life just gets changed in power. You're here, you have an infirmity of any sort, any pain, any ache, any discomfort, whether in body or in heart and mind. I'd love for you to also join up with these prayer team members. These ones are set, well equipped by the power of God just to minister life in that area. And your life doesn't remain the same. Father, I thank you for every soul here, God. I thank you, Father, for great strides and things of the Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for growth. Every soul here. Thank you, Father, above all, for a relationship with you. Oneness in spirit. And the place of fellowship and communion. Thank you, Father, for the victory that is ours, which we get to see in our experience and walk for this week and time to come, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Give God some praise. Have a glorious week. Thank you for your time.